Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we enter your gates with thanksgiving, Lord, your house of worship with praise, knowing your presence, Lord, for which we are so grateful. What would we do without it? We know that this is the hope that we have, that you're here to lead us into the millennium, lead us beyond right to the very eternity, right back to beginnings, to conform perfectly to the original precept, the foreknowledge of God. So that which came out of God returns to God to be with him. We're grateful for that, Lord. We have no misgivings at all because you have sealed it to us, Lord, by the prophetic utterance of the word of the last day, proven it by vindication, proven it by manifestation. All these things point to this hour of triumph of Christ and the bride. And we're grateful for it. Be with us now in the study of your word, Lord. Let it not be remiss. Pray it should be your word, which indeed we believe it is your word, Lord. And then you're going to preach in the same spirit in which it was given. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I just wonder if you realize singing that little psalm there about Mount Zion, you know. You're singing about yourself because that's the bride. It's kind of embarrassing, you know, but if God says so, I'm not gonna fault it. I'm going to believe it. He says here in his word, he said to the message just before Laodicea, he said, there are those, you know, that call themselves Jews and aren't. He said, they lie. Behold, I'll make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. And so you can see here that the church got ahead of that, you know. The church demands worship. That started with Rome. The church demands that you come through it to get to Christ. But you see, New Jerusalem is a body of people housed in a city of transparent gold, 1,500 miles wide, crossing to the height. And the Lamb is above the throne. And so those who want to get to him in any way at all, they got to come through Zion, which is the bride. Now, you don't come through church at this time. There's no way. That's future. That'll happen. You have to come into a church, which is the true church. And see, Rome just got ahead in everything. They messed up the vicar of Christ. There is a true vicar of Christ. Paul was the first one. Absolutely. He that heard Paul heard the Holy Ghost. Paul said that. He said a prophet or a spiritual man will admit that my word is the word of God. See, and you got the next age brought a vicar of Christ. Well, Rome got in there and they defiled the whole thing by voting for a man. Then they began voting in pastors, and pretty soon a vote was God. Hogwash. Well, I tell you what you do by voting, you vote God out. You never did vote God in. See, there's no way. So Rome just messed everything up. Now in the end time, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And there is a seed, and only the bride has that seed, like Philip had the seed. You see, all the rest are illegitimate. There's a great big church out there that thinks it's somebody. And they've got enough clout, you know, to get a lot of things done. Well, what's done? The works of Satan. Now, I don't know. We'll get down to... I won't cover too much of the rapture, I don't think, today, but we'll get into it. However, I want to just bring you a couple thoughts here, because it's always important to just keep reviewing material so that you know just where you stand. Now, John the Apostle in the 3rd chapter, 1 John... he tells us here that up in the 8th verse, he said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Well, we can take verse 5 first of all. And ye know that he, that Jesus, was made manifest. He's perfectly made clear that this was the one to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth not hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. In other words, he's never been made manifest to him, never really revealed to him. And see, how can you then know him if you don't know what this is talking about? Which is sin, and you'll see here the works of the devil. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, Christ, is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now he said, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might bring to nothing the works of the devil. Now, what works does the devil have? He doesn't have any. He didn't create anything. He didn't make anything. He doesn't have any power and authority. But what he does, he perverts everything that is there that God made. So the devil is a perverter. Now, You'll notice it goes on a little further, and it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Now that's where the devil's lined up. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now this is the same thing he says over here. Nobody can fool you because you've got an anointing in you so that nobody can get to you. Same thing. Now in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now this little bit thrown in here, he that loveth not his brother, is where everybody goes haywire. Every single person gives way to filial, to emotions, to everything. And they say love covers a multitude of sins. What if I fell in love with a harlot? I'm going to tell you something. You can't even forgive anybody only in the person of Christ. How do you? Well, you know yourself. Look at Brother Branham come with the gift of healing. And the person's got a terrible disease. Now he said, I can't take that off you. I got the power, but I can't take it off you because I've got to have the commandment. Well, just a minute, just a minute, just a minute. No, you just a minute. Maybe God put that on you. See? A black man sitting in Tulsa, I think it was. I was going to not have been Tulsa, I forget. Topeka. Brother Branham told him what his problem was, his sickness was, and then he said, you're healed. Then he said, now just a minute, he said, you were backslidden. He said, your sins are forgiven. Right away they cried. Oh, they couldn't take it. He said, now hold it. He said, you're doubting what I said, but he said, the same one that told me what was wrong told me to tell him his sins are forgiven. Now, just a minute. How can you and I forgive sins? We can't. The church can't forgive sins. What it tells you in the book is actually this, that the church can forgive sins to whom it has been previously forgiven. In other words, the worst rotter in the world could be out there in Bell Fountain around here. And that person come to Christ in the true born again experience and show it by believing this message. It doesn't matter what he's done. The church forgives him. Says, you're my brother. They don't have a bit of trouble. They don't bring up his past. They don't talk about the future. He's a brother. Blood washed, full of the Holy Ghost. You see? And whosoever sins that you don't remit, that you retain, have previously been retained. You can't forgive what God hasn't forgiven. See? Church is crazy. Because it hasn't got the mind of Christ. The whole system is wrong. They get carried away with the devil. And they are carried away. And in the last days, they're carried away by gifts. Now just, you can keep your finger there in John, but I'm going to read you something. Now concerning the spiritual, the charismatics, the spiritual energy, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, first of all, you had the theology taught you. And the theology was this, that in those idols, when the Spirit came down, that became the God incarnated to you. And so, therefore, if you worship, you could literally worship God through idols. And they beat themselves, they cut themselves, they went into frenzies in order to get an action or a reaction from the idol. Now, Paul said, you people are still mixed up. You're carrying on frenzies to get gifts. You're carrying on emotional spurges in order to get this which you desire, these energies. And they were even calling Jesus accursed. They had no revelation at all of the truth. And they were coming into gifts. Now, let me tell you something, brother, sister. You can have lots of gifts, but no Holy Ghost. Absolutely. The only evidence of having the Holy Ghost, baptism, is the Word. Because both saint and sinner can have gifts by one Spirit. You can be plumb born of the devil like Judas and have absolute genuine gifts because it's one Spirit. But there are two spirits when it comes to the Word. That's why Paul put the church in order by the Word so you can know fallacious from true. How was it they went to Junior Jackson's and it became a bastard, Brother Brandon said so. because they didn't care about the Word. And you've got people right now that are supposed to believe this message, that fight the present and want gifts right on the floor. It tells you it's a bastard child. And the illegitimates run to it. Because it's sweet. Watch it. Back to John. And this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth righteousness is not of God. I'm going to tell you something. And that person that's not of God is going to end up hating the person that is of God. Now let's find out who is God, who's the brother. Listen, I'm not a brother to these illegitimates out there. Now you folk may be nice and they're your brothers and sisters. Well, you just lost me, kids. I won't fool with you. I got the prophet's word. I can leave you flat. That's right. I got the prophet's word. He said, get out. See? He said, people lose confidence in the preacher, get out. What if the preacher lost confidence in the people? Now, I'm saying ahead. I'm just nailing it down here so you understand what I'm saying. And the only way anybody understands these days with a 4x4 right across the eyeball. Because that's where the brain is. Too many manure heads. That's right. Now listen, get this sawdust out of there. Now listen, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. And John kept going back to the beginning, and the book of Genesis is the beginning. Matthew is not the beginning. John's gospel is not the beginning. For it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. That was in A.D. 0. And Christ came on the scene. That's right. So we go back to Genesis. That you love one another. Now it says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, so he wasn't the brother of the one who was not of the wicked one. This man was illegitimate. This man was the seed of the serpent. And it says right here, he slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. What was the righteous deed? Shedding the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Taking God's revelation. Standing with God's word. What was the work of the devil? Perverting the Word of God. Now he didn't stand up and he say to the people, now look, I want to tell you something. This first fruit offering, or this blood offering, is not in the Bible. Well, he didn't say that. But he neglected the blood offering and went to the fruit offering, or the first fruit, which is resurrection, which is in the Bible. And God spake to this man Cain, and he said, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you wroth? He said, listen, you have rightly offered, but you have not rightly divided, therefore you are in sin. And Paul categorically said that a misdividing of the word is sin, and the man with the Holy Ghost does not misdivide the word, and the man of God loves it, and he loves his brethren with him. But how can you love that which is a killer? Now, if you've got killers out there, which they are killers because they kill by their lies, if those people are your brothers, you are happy. You will make me happy by never coming back here again, please. Just do me a favor. Because when I find out who you are, you wish you'd gone if you are here this morning. I'm not kidding. Listen, don't ever think I'm kidding. Because I'm past fooling anymore. Do I care? I've got nothing to lose anymore. It's all out in the open. I've either committed or condemned my soul with my preaching. And you better know one thing, if you believe me, to be a servant of God and what I'm preaching right, you have either condemned or committed your soul unto life the same as I have. You're on the same hook. So don't think you can sit on the seat and waver, like sitting on a post, because I'm going to tell you, you are already condemned worse than any of us. Because at least there's some hot and some cold, but you make God vomit. I don't like necessarily saying things like this, but they have to be said, and they've got to be said in a tough way. so that people understand where we're at. Now listen, this is the same doctrine of the preaching. Of the presence of the rapture. Because Cain scoffed Abel. He walked in his own lust. And he died in his sins. Now let me tell you something, brother, sister. There can be no blood applied without light. I don't care what anybody says. The blood of Jesus Christ cannot cover outside of light. The Bible tells us. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, it tells us we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unbelief. Now, Brother Branham says that category, Volume 6, Number 1, Page 18, Paragraph 1. I got the note here. Coming to the light vindicates the man, if the light is of God. There is a light that is not of God. The light that is not of God is misdivided, misinterpreted, misplaced, otherwise off the Word, but using the Word. It's far better for a man to come with his own understanding, which could be metaphysical or some philosophy, and deny this entirely. It's a million times better for him to come without this book than to come with this book in perversion. Because this is where the devil is. The devil is not outside of this book. The devil's in this book. You say, what about the guys out there? They are an offshoot from the perversion of the devil's work in this book. For had this book not been perverted, there wouldn't be that which is out there. There wouldn't be communism or anything else. Communism has come from religion. It came from Romanism that split into the two legs, east and the west. And the east went to Russia, the Orthodox. And because of the orthodoxy Catholic Church, in other words, it was completely across the whole nation. And because of the corruption of the priesthood, though they were married, the people rose up. You got the same in Mexico. You got the same down south. And as Brother Branham said, when the Protestants of America elected a Roman Catholic president, they told the whole world, the Catholics are fine. And the people said, then why are you sending missionaries? It was all over. You say, it's not over America? That's a lie from the pit of hell. It was over when they put in John Kennedy, and he got in by lie. He got in through Daly in Chicago and Cook County. By the lever being pulled every single time every Republican was voting for a Democrat. And when it was proven, he wouldn't step down. But the same Democrats, because Nixon told a lie, forced him out. There's your Democrats. And then Pentecostal people vote for Democrats. But the Republicans are no better. I'll be honest, the only vote I'm interested in, this is good for a laugh, and I haven't registered yet, is to vote against Celeste tax, his income tax. To vote it out. And let the Ohio government know it's time to call a halt. And if they don't call one, the people will call one for them. The rest of the world, who cares about you? You say, that's your pocketbook, Brother Bill? That's my pocketbook, you're right. He that hits my pocketbook hits the apple of my purse. All right? The doctrine of the rapture is right here, too. If this is right, it's going to breed hatred. What was it that caused the death of Jesus? The fact that he was there and unrecognized, and they said, no, Messiah is not here, but we'll kill this one that says he is. And they did. So they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. You tell me how they can do it. If it doesn't run an exact parallel, you tell me. All right, we're going to go to the rapture. And in the rapture, we found that Brother Branham was dealing very heavily with scoffers. And this being the subject of the rapture, you have to understand that everything he says about scoffers has to do with this moment. Because every scripture is inherently a part of it, or illustrating, and every illustration backs it by virtue of the fact that he's brought it into the subject. And he says here on page 11, he said, the astronauts said, we didn't see a thing of God. There's nothing up there. He said, that even turned ministers around. They thought God lived up there somewhere 150 miles high. Education and wisdom of this world has turned the church into a bunch of ragweed. Ragweed causes hay fever. Make people lose their sight. Exactly what happened. Education and the educational system, science and civilization is of the devil. How? By denying the Word of God, because that's what it started way back there. Science without denying the Word of God is legitimate, but science takes upon itself to deny God. So let it burn, and everyone burn with it. You say, Brother Vader, vindictive. Don't be an ass. I'm supposed to stand here and be nicer than God? I'm supposed to stand here and eulogize the devil? You got another thought coming. You got another thought coming. If I'm in that category, let me burn. Because they're better off without me. It's time to be honest, brother, sister. There's too much hypocrisy out there. There's too much pseudo-religion, pseudo-love, pseudo-everything, pseudo-Holy Ghost, pseudo-gifts, pseudo-this and pseudo-that. Men hold pseudonyms. They won't even bring themselves out in the open in this hypocritical age. Started way back there with the devil. It's the devil's civilization. Brother Brand said so. The Bible said so. And our civilization that's coming on will have nothing to do with this civilization, nothing at all. Then why do you love it? Why do you want to perpetuate it? Why have you got sympathy for it? That's a good question, isn't it? Now, come on, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. I'm one of those preachers, get down to the nitty-gritty. Why would we love what God hates? There's something wrong with it. Well, you say, well, Brother Dale, the fact is that, you see, God said, I'll judge. He's already judged. Who are you taking your side with? Anarchy? Don't tell me he hasn't already judged. Tell you right now, that's the most awful statement I've ever heard in my life. To stand, somebody stand up and say, the judgment isn't already fulfilled. It's laid out here in the Word. My goodness me. What's the Word for? I know what people in people's minds. You're still all messed up with politics. So the legislature puts laws into force, or they vote on them and say, now this is the law. And a bunch of crafty lawyers come by and they say, ha, 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 I found something, a hole in the hole in the hole. So now we can get you out of this. And the crooked man with the mafia comes to the sleazy politician, to the sleazy judge. There's no more work. Try that with God. Try that with the Word. You said, Drizzle, there's one that judges you, Moses. You've already been judged. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He said, I would have helped you. But he said, and I cried, wept over you, did everything, sent your prophets, you killed them. You murdered them out of hand. You threw everyone out. Now he said, there's one thing left. Judgment. Oh, Lord, you're too sweet to judge. Is he? Why are you people sick today? You know why? Visiting the sins of the parents upon the children of the third and fourth generation. You're suffering from way back there. And then you try to tell me? Something wrong somewhere, brother, sister. Yeah, it'll be a different civilization. Into this civilization that's coming, which is a faith civilization, of course, this scientific world we got. He says the more science, the more scientific we get further into death. True. You know, isn't it wonderful? You got drugs that'll kill the germ, and the side effects will kill you. Marvelous, just what I always wanted. That's doctors. Yep. They'll give you a little pill for your cold, and you'll do that little pill, you'll blithely pull out in front of a car. Now, don't tell me I did it one time, but I stopped just in time, and all I had was a cold pill in Florida. And I can take you to the very street where I pulled out, and I saw the car coming. Why are men and women doing this all the time? Because they're on drugs, and the side effects are getting them. And there's a side effect to a false dogma that lulls you into hell, into death. Now it says, further into death, things, traps to kill and everything. In that new civilization, which we'll get when we're raptured, there'll be no death, no sickness, no sorrow, nor pain. See? There won't be any in there. So this civilization will have to be destroyed because it's of the devil. Brother Branham said the flames are going to chew up those, germs and things, microbes, germs, destroy every one of them. And you know something? It's scientifically proven there's some germs cannot be killed apart from fire. Yep. They're just too resistant. You know something? Years ago, when they began fooling with the earth, with the penicillin, the antibiotics, it meant that there'd come a time when the earth could no longer purify itself because what it took by the good microbes to kill the bad microbes for germs and all no longer existed. They were immune to it. The earth has got to be a corrupt mass until when the pus falling upon the ground is doing it now with AIDS. Dear lovely homosexuals, we exalted them. We gave them a parade in San Francisco. We gave a mayor who loved the homos. AIDS to the rescue, thank God. Well, I've got no pity. You say, Brother Bear, what if you get it? I'm going to tell you what. If I get it by a contact through something other than my own sin, they will answer to me on the day of judgment for what they did to me. Amen. Oh, yeah, don't think I won't, brother, sister. We're not dealing with politics anymore. Amen. We're dealing with thus said God's holy word from a holy God. Amen. You think I'm not going to be there judging? You've got a wrong concept of evil. I want to be there. Yep. I want to be there. I want to get back at the devil through Jesus Christ. He's got his swan song right now, brother, sister. His time is short because the revealed word for the last time has come on the scene, and this time it's rapture. Yes, sir. Now he says here, there won't be anything there like diseases. This civilization is going to be destroyed because it's of the devil. This is it. We're into it. Who do you think came down? If the King of Kings didn't come down, brother, sister, how is it up there? We're going to crown him King of Kings. Because the bride doesn't make him. The bride just acknowledges. God in his manifestation, his sovereign office, his prophet, priest, judge, king. Lily of the valley, rose to Sharon, all to get loving. Husband, bridegroom. The great musician. The great orator. The great everything, the great God. Splendor. Standing there splendid in his splendor. Does the bride make him that? Heavens no. She merely recognizes it. And because something's in her reaching out, she accords him that honor she couldn't do otherwise. We find in Genesis 4 that kings' people started civilization, building towns and cities and so forth. That's true. Instruments of music and came into sciences. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with music. The devil's got his crowd and we got our crowd. And there's no better singing under God's high heaven than singing goes on here in this place. And you know I'm proud of you for that. I'm proud of our two brothers that do the work up here. They're absolutely fantastic as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't trade them for all the gold in Russia or out of Russia, any bunch of song leaders and in the country than what we have right here. And I mean that sincerely, because I've been around a certain amount. And music is of God as well as of the devil. Just like doctors are of God as well as of the devil. Trouble is, anything you can do with nature, God's in favor of, but doctors stepped out of their realm and out of their orbit when they begin messing with drugs that you compound synthetically. And I still believe that I am not wrong in saying the DDT was the first true synthetic substance made. And from that time on, we've had nothing but problems and increased problems until, well, has it been said that every store will soon have, grocery store will soon have over it. Beware, these foods could be dangerous to your health, because they are. Because of the pesticides and those things that are in them. What's done it? Science. You see, how are we going to get rid of our bugs? Bring in the good bugs. The praying mantis. The ladybugs. How about those sick plants? Build up the soil. Well, you see, that won't make the money. What do you want? Money or get sick? You're like the fella says he lost his health to gain his wealth and lost his wealth to gain his health. He never got it back. The doctors got the wealth without giving him back any health. Exactly. God has the balance of nature. Man destroys the balance. See? A kid brought in from one of the islands, one of those huge snails. I guess they're almost big as a dog. I don't know. They weigh pounds or something. Brought it in his pocket. Because he was a tiny kid, the agriculture department in the, what do you call them there, where they come in the end of the country, they didn't examine the little boy. Well, he got tired of his snail, he dropped it in the streets of California, in his yard. One day a frantic cry comes in. Where are these big snails coming? They go chomp and a whole plant disappears. A few city blocks cost close to $1 million to eradicate those snails. And God said, you keep the bounds of the people, then you keep the bounds of nature. Then what happens if you mess with these words? You tell me. It's proven. It's proven manifestly. You can't fool with the things of God. There's no way you can fool with them and get by with it. Then can you fool with the Word of God? No, sir, because all things are maintained by the Word of God. And when it's no longer the Word of God, in other words, if you sprinkle acid rain on your roses will die. So when you sprinkle the wrong word on the people, they're going to die. God sprinkles pure water, the pure word. Sure, that's a wrap today, that former rain. All right? Back in Cain's day. And the people got further away from God with their sciences, yet they're religious. But when Seth people came on, they come on in the name of the Lord. Now remember, in this hour, the bride speaks to each other and they think on the name of the Lord. Now what is the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord is Jesus, and that's the one inheritance that Jesus got from his Father, was his name, and the bride has it. See, that's ours today. I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings to the prophet or say anything about a church. And if you're here and belong to this church, I'm not saying this to hurt your feelings, because just as many good people in there as in other churches. But I was reading in Shreveport last week where the Catholic Church made a statement. And we see where they're all coming together now at the Great Ecumenical Council and so forth, just exactly fulfilling what the Bible said they do. Now, what's the subject? Rapture. Now, while the rapture is going on, in process, a bride coming together. Right? Let's find out. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, even our gathering together unto him. The Lord himself descend from heaven with a shout. That tells you. There's a gathering. Okay? They're gathering together. The great council of churches. In the hour of the rapture. It is the hour of the churches coming together. And they'll be coming against the bride. See? Now, watch what happens now, which is separation, and it's going to be more and more. Now, you didn't get that. You thought you got it, and you got part, but you didn't get it really. Let me go in a little more. All right. Over in Matthew 24, the carcass is toma, which is ptomaine poisoning. In chapter 24, verses 40, 41, then shall two be in the field, one taken, one left. Two women grinding, one taken, one left. That is the word dividing. In Luke 17, the word carcass is soma, which means health. The Son of Righteousness arising with healing in His wings. We are gathering to the rapture. It's in Luke. One taken, one left is the rapture. So it's narrowing down as to who's got the word. Therefore, there are divisions amongst us. And I'm going to tell you something. And I've told you already, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm a little afraid of what I'm teaching for one reason. Too many people are starting to believe it. I've got only one hope. They don't believe it the way I believe it. You say, Brother Vail, you're very crude. I'm a crude person. Thank you. No problem. I merely agree with you. I'm not judgmental. I'm not temperamental. I'm trying to be as strict with this word as I can. How many understand the rapture? And it's a true revelation. They are the ones that are going to go. And the prophet said, they're very, very few. I believe I'm teaching right. If I didn't, I'd try to find something else. But I'm convinced on what I teach. I wouldn't be teaching. I have no hesitation to say what I believe and what I teach. What I believe and how I believe what I teach, I do my very best to express in language that conveys it to you. But I must admit this, as you will admit, that my words to me can mean different to me than they mean to you. And your words to me can mean something else to you than what they mean to me, though we're both very, very fair and honest. Very true. But somebody's got to have it right. Now listen, Brother Branham said the carcass was the fresh meat of the word where the eagles go. And the other is the rotten meat full of worms to where the crows go. Now he also said, and you know, and I have added to it, and I'm not afraid to add to what the prophet said, because I can prove that I'm right when I say it. Brother Branham said, a dove will not eat crow food, but a crow will eat dove food, and I added yes until it gets a whiff of what it really likes, which is crow food, and it'll go to it. And Brother Branham said, the dove and the crow roost on the same branches. And I also have the ark to prove it, because the dove came back in, and the crow loved the whiff. You see, there was no rotting carcass, I don't suppose, on the ark, although they killed some for sacrifice. He might have got his little tummy full of some of that. But perhaps by the time the ark landed, there was nothing left on the boat he could chew on. And the dove went out and couldn't eat the crow food, but the crow could eat his crow food. And he didn't return back anymore to eat dove food, because he got a whiff of his crow food. Now, that's my understanding of Scripture. If I'm wrong, well, I'm wrong. I'm not worried about it, though, because I know I'm right. You know that as well as I do, brother, sister. The hog returns to its wall and the dog to its vomit. Now, come on. All right. We see they're all coming together now at the great ecumenical council and so forth, just exactly fulfilling the Bible said they do, just exactly. And he's talking about the rapture. So you see, those that believe in the rapture, the right way, are going to be fewer and fewer. You say, Brother Vail, do you know that to be true? Oh, come on, honey, listen. I get the word all the time because I'm the target of all the darts. You think I'm going to make your water beds targets the other day? You don't know it. Your water beds are safe. You just pray for me, kid. That's all. Now look, I get it all the time. And the great criticism is this. Oh, look, we believe in the presence. It's those other things that go with it. Oh, we believe in the presence, but look at their terrible spirit. Brother, sister, listen. Pardon my language, dear sweet little boys and dear sweet little boys and girls all around the place. I came out of a whorehouse. Protestantism. I don't want to go back. If I've got to go back to the house of prostitution, when I've preached chastity all my life and believed in it, there's something wrong somewhere. In other words, if I've got to settle my affections that Christ wants on associating with and having fellowship with prostitutes and dogs which are male prostitutes, I'm going to quit the whole thing. Oh, they can't stomach it. We'll close the doors unless you want to get another preacher. Just nail the place up and go. But if this is what his love is, I've never had it, and I never will have it, and I don't want it. Because we're supposed to have a spiritual love affair with Christ. The embrace, the kiss, and the insemination. And he that is joined to the harlot is one flesh. I'm not about to pander to those who are not my brethren. No way. Now he found out, they said, why the Bible, some of the Protestants want to hold to that Bible. Why, say the Catholics and some Protestants, no doubt. The Bible's nothing but a book, a history of the church. They didn't have it in literature until 250 years ago. It's always been the church. He said it was the church, not the Bible. See, that's what they said. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. That's Roman Catholic. But what do you think of the Protestants who try to make the Bible say what the creed says? No difference. Look, brother, sister, you go to the fruit market and you find a rotten apple. So right away you stop it. Now, I won't say something, but I won't say anything. Because that wouldn't be nice. So I'll say this, what was in my mind first. You go to the stall and you see the rotten apple and you don't stop and say, now, do you think perchance it was a codling moth that laid an egg that caused the blot, that caused the rot? Do you think it was? Or do you think it could be a worm from the inside? Oh, maybe not. Maybe there was some acid rain falling. You just say, rotten. And that does it. So what's the big deal? Both churches are the same. See, it was a church not the Bible. Bible's just the history. What a subtle lie that is. Where does it come from? Was it long? It's rotten. It's rotten. See? Said why we've had the Bible for 3,000 years. No, Brother Band said why we've had the Bible for 3,000 years. They said we only got 25 years ago. See, the Old Testament was written in Scripture for hundreds and hundreds of years before the coming of Christ. It's just a subtle thing of the devil. Now, and we find out. Now, watch the rapture. See, he's talking rapture. And we find out in this day, when this great scoffing and making fun of the Bible and trying to push it out. Now hold it. Now hold it. They ain't pushing this Bible out. For the first time, the Roman Catholics want everybody to read it. Even Cushing said, go and hear Billy Graham and you'll come back a better Catholic. Whoo, man. And And Brother Billy Graham stood there and was honored by Cushing. Even the name is insidious. Cushing. Like that filthy Protestant Salem Bland. The rottenest Protestant about 40-some years ago was Salem Bland, and now Cushing. And Billy Graham stands there and says, "We preach the same gospel you do." I kid you not, I have the picture at home and the quote. So much for Billy Graham and the Protestant churches. Now listen, they're not pushing this Bible out. It's the Bible of the rapture, the shout, amen, the revealed word of the hour. Amen. Not Luther, not Wesley, not Moses. This word. Amen. Understand why this is the rapture message? This is the subject. If you don't keep these things in mind, you'll read your rapture a dozen times, 15 times, 20 times, however many times, and it'll go blah, 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 blah. They say, "Wasn't it nice? What was nice?" Well, I really don't know, but I like it. When you quote from it, what are you quoting? Rapture. Shout. Voice. Trumpet. See? All right. God's got to judge the truth by something. Oh, here it is. For just a minute. I got Strong's concordance there. And Strong was a great theologian. I'm going to tell you something. Strong was just a theologian of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. What theologian are you going to quote? Now, the word theologian is a bad word to some of my confreres, if I can demean myself so low as to even say that. Yeah. They don't even know what theology is. Theo is God, and the ology part from what comes from logos, so therefore it's the word of God. The word theology is a mighty good word, providing you are a genuine theologian, but these ain't. I refuse to classify myself with the theologians out there, but I have no trouble classifying myself with the theologians that are with the Word of God. Because I do handle the Word of God, and I don't do it deceitfully. And my preaching condemns myself the same as anybody else, because if I'm wrong, I freely admit I'm going to have worse trouble than any of you. Because you listen to me, and you've got confidence in what I say, so therefore it's bad. Now, it says here, he's got to judge the church by something. And he's talking about the rapture. You say, why? I just told you. There's a separating. There's a joining this bunch, and there's a joining that bunch. And in our bunch, we're separated these 50 different ways. Because just about every pastor has got his own group. They won't associate with the other fellow. And how many teachers running around that should stay home like I'm staying home now? So if anybody wants the poison, they got to order it. And if you're stupid enough to order the poison, you drink it, that's your tough luck. Now, the only people you got to count for is right here. Only place, because you come here. Don't count for anybody else. That's your tough luck. I didn't say, hey, I'm preaching, you want to hear the tapes, I'll send you tapes. No way. When the people do get fresh tapes, I say, look, if you don't like it, send it right back. No charge anyway. You want to try them out? You can keep them, destroy them. Nobody asks you to believe. This is what I believe. You're at liberty to believe otherwise. And they can. Now, I said, what are you going to judge by? I want to ask you a question. Why did we leave organization? Because we had something to judge by. We said, hey, that's got to be wrong. What's all this stuff about three gods when it says one God, one God, one God? So how are you going to say three gods when he said one God? You've got to stand back till he answers you. You don't make up your own theology. The Trinitarians did. In no way, shape, and form, God cannot be born. God cannot be created. And yet they try to make Jesus Christ completely one with God in the sense there's two gods and a third one. Now, if I was driven to the wall, I might sort of entertain the thought that there might be two, but there couldn't be three. Now, that much I know for sure. And then why should I settle for two if he said there's one? There's something wrong with my thinking. So I better get my thinking lined up with his thinking and begin to find out that what God does in offices and manifestations does not create another God, but simply is a manifestation and a working of the Almighty God within an office. So therefore the Father came down and dropped the Son, which was the beginning of creation, because that's the first thing that God did way back there in order to begin to get where he was in redemption, because he was a redeemer primarily above everything else. Now he said there's got to be something to judge by. He can't just, no, no, he said he stopped short and he says, now, tell you what, they can't come down this street and arrest me saying I'm doing 30 miles in a 20-mile zone unless there's something there to tell me I'm only allowed to go 20 miles. It has to be there. And God's going to judge the church, is going to judge the people someday. We know that. There is a judgment coming. Now remember, it's pinpointed in the rapture is what he's saying. You see? Now, let's keep reading. We know that. There's a judgment coming. So if he's going to judge it by the Catholic Church, what Catholic Church? Going to judge it by the Methodist or Baptist law? Judge it by the Oneness Two-ness law? See? What's he going to judge it by? He said he would judge it by Christ, and Christ is the Word. So the Word of God, that God will judge. So it's the Word of God that God will judge. In other words, right there, he's judging us according to that Word and our reaction to the Word. So you see, he's got a standard. The standard is all there. And in the beginning, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's telling you here that we are right back to the beginning, the Logos. And this, of course, is the third pole, which is the Word. All right. And the revealed Word is back here amongst us, fulfilling himself. It was the flesh back there. It's the Word today. It doesn't matter, flesh or pillar of fire, it's the same one. Now, so therefore, since you have him present, delivering the Word, God, his own prophet, vindicating his own Word, then judgment proceeds out of the rapture. Now, listen, understand what I'm saying. There could not be a great tribulation and the earth purged by fire without the rapture. And part of the rapture is the shout, which is the Word. See? So there you got it. You got prophet, you got judge. As soon as he leaves here, he becomes a full executor, or executor, but just executor, of that Word, bringing on the judgment of the earth. In the meantime, the separation has gone on, and the judgments are in the earth heralding what is to come. And now we find out in this day, when we're trying to push the Bible out. What Bible out? This out? No. The revelation of it. The truth of it. And where did the truth come? In the rapture. The first part, shout. Now let's just go down the line and find out, because I'm not kidding you. We go all through the whole scripture here and show you. Even in the face of some things that sound like Brother Branham's not saying that, what I'm saying here, but we'll show you he is. Now, we want to push the Bible out and to accept the church instead, to take the church. The Bible, they don't want it. That is the church. They don't want it. So they can just make any kind of a creed or anything else and walk by it. Now listen, as he is in the light, you walk. What is the light today? Not Luther, not Wesley, not Pentecost, Elijah. All right, what about him? He's the messenger of the shout. For the Lord himself shall descend with the shout, and it is not said to be the voice of the descender himself. And William Branham said, I was just a voice, and that against my better judgment. This is not my word, it is his word, which is purely vindicated. And even the scientific camera took it. So therefore, if they make the rapture a creed, which they will, by denying the shout. Because look, brother, sister, you can't do a thing about that resurrection. You can't do a thing about the rapture. There's only one thing you can do about. That's the word, because that's always what has been done about. When a revelation comes, the devil perverts it. And when it is perverted, it's gone. Now, this is one time the devil will not get to a bride. She'll be taken out of here before you can get to her. Well, I was speaking the other night at Shreveport, and those, the communion, when they killed the sacrificial lamb. There was to be no leaven among them the entire 7 days. No leaven, no leavened bread. Everything had to be unleavened. That represented seven church ages that we get in the book here. That's right. They had just what they needed, but they didn't need a rapture. All they needed was something to get them out of the ground. That's fine. All they needed was somebody to get them out of Egypt, but hold it! The cup of the Amorites wasn't filled. So how are you going to get a rapture unless the cup of the Amorites is filled? Organization is completely run over and gone. See, like Brother Branham said, if I were to preach, he said, the end time based on Sodom and Gomorrah conditions, it wouldn't be enough. No, he said, all the signs have to be in. How are you going to talk about rapture? How are you going to talk about the fulfillment of he that is righteous still, until you talk about he that is filthy still? See? All the signs got to be in. Now, the signs weren't in, but they're getting in very fast. How are you going to talk about anything until Israel's back on the homeland? You can't. The signs got to be in. Now, therefore, there were no signs in for the end time. So they had enough of the oil and the wine, see, to get them through. But at the end time, that worked. You've got to have all of it. Well, I can prove that to you. I don't know what people are thinking of, but it tells you right over here in the book of Acts, the third chapter. It says, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. What all things? Oh, that's back in Moses' day. Now, come on, you hypocrite. That's not back in Moses' day. That's all things for this day. Not that day. We're not living in that day. I'm not even living in Pentecost. Good heavens, that's 2,000 years ago. What do I want to go back there for? Paul didn't have the word for that, for this hour. He never had it. The cross was given to him. The power of the cross has endured for six solid ages and into the seventh. But the power of the resurrection has never been manifested. I'm not talking the evidence of the resurrection. I'm talking about the power itself. Amen. It's in this hour. Amen. Paul never had it. He said, I want it. I wanted to get me from amongst the dead and let the rest stay there while I get out. Oh, he said, Paul, now, you're not a nice man to say that. Oh, but I am. Amen. I don't belong to the devil's crowd to pervert things, he said. You see, if I was perverted, I'd want to stay there with the rest that have this nice itchy-kitchy love. You're the coochie-coochie kind that says, I'll marry you till they get in bed with you. Then you're on your own, pregnated with the seed of hell. Don't think you're going to wake up in his flowery beds of ease, brother, sister, having got yourself pregnated with the devil. How did he get it? Just getting that word. All messed up. You got it. I kid you not, I know that either. Now, he said there was no leaven mixed with it. There wasn't with that little bit that went through. Because that was enough to get them through. And we mixed the creed and the denomination, everything else with the word, and still trying to call it the word. No leaven shall be in the entire 7 days. Now, he said there was leaven in the rapture doctrine. You see, he didn't say it, but he did, because he said, you're waiting for it. And there was a rapture doctrine. It had a part right like everything else. When it's part right, it's part wrong. Now, trying to call it the Word. And he said, and still try to call it the Word. In the face of the shout. So there is no word of rapture but this which he preached. Amen. This is the age that you can't add to or take from, so all the word is there. No leaven shall be in the entire 7 days. And even what is eat today, don't try to keep it for tomorrow. Burn it with fire before the daylight comes, for there's a new message coming forth and a new thing. Now people might think, well, hey, Brother Branham says there's a new message coming down the road even beyond this. Let's just go to page 27, paragraph 130. Now he said three things happen. A voice, a shout, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. That's right, before you see him visibly. Now a shout. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. You know, he said he's three times, then he said the fourth time, for his deliverance. Three things he does, and then he does, it's all over. From then on, it's just God. A shout. What's a shout? It's a message. Bringing forth first the living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. Well, come on. What day is he talking about? This day, Laodicea has to have a messenger at the end with a fresh message. Amen. To bring forth what? A living bride. Every bride had to die. There wasn't that in the Word at that time to take her on over. Through the flood tide of the river flowing from Ezekiel's temple, from the eastern gate. First of all, they had waters to the ankle, Luther. Waters to the knees, Wesley. Waters to the loins, Pentecost. And now waters that just carried you over. See? Now bringing forth a new thing. What new thing? Well, come on. Let's find out the new thing. Oh, John here, he just gets terribly enthused over in 1 John, talking about the presence and all of these goody-goody things he's talking about. And watch what he says in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and in the 2nd verse, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear, or come into existence. What shall be, there's going to be a new thing. What is a new thing? When he shall appear, we'll be like him, we'll see him as he is. What? For the message is going to bring forth the people that are changed to his image. But that's what it says. I don't know what people want. Now, see, try to hold it over. Now, let's just throw what we're talking about, see. The Pentecost of false doctrine, what he's talking about. That's been the attitude of the church. A revival goes forth. The first thing you know, within 3 years, they start an organization over it. The denomination starts an organization. But have you noticed, this has been sweeping for 20 years now. Since 1946. When the angel commissioned him, which was the time to take a gift of healing to the entire world, was the announcement, literally, of the message. Because he always preached. He began to teach what would eventually come to be the absolute, vindicated, pure word of Almighty God for this hour. This hour. Which would bring forth a living bride who would not die. And there's no organization to it. And there never will be. This is the end. And this is the end. Who needs another message? That's right. So he's not talking about something coming down the road. He's talking about the hour of Pentecost that has to give way. As the Catholic Church gave way to Luther. Luther gave way to Wesley. Wesley to Pentecost. And now Pentecost to this. The life in the Catholic Church went out. It went to Lutheranism, believe it or not, at the beginning. Then it went to Wesley. Then it went to Pentecost, and now the life is with us. It's the same life, but what life is it? Not the life that was back there. Come on. You're forming a body. It's the same life. But the life that's forming the chest is going forming the throat. Because it's coming up. And the same life, having formed perfectly a New Testament bride, with him as the head of both old and new, will come down here. in a physical form. Now, this is the end. The wheat's come back to wheat again. Christ to Christ. See, before he was flesh, he was spirit. The wheat's come back to its grain. The shuck has pulled away from it. Now that's us. The shuck of the world pulled away from the true word. The shuck of the human part pulls away from the true human part. And the wheat must lay in the presence of the sun to be ripened. Well, if he's not present, how are you going to lie there? See? What's the light? What's the sun, rather? It's the light. Now, 19 years roughly had gone by. 19 years, almost exactly 7 months had gone by when Brother Branham started preaching, bringing that out in 1946 to 1965, when he preached the final message, which in my estimation was the seventh seal revealed to the public, the coming. And remember, he said that Revelation 10, 1 to 7, was the seventh seal. What are you going to do about it? And he said Revelation 10 and 7 was here at the same time that Revelation 10 and 1 was. It was in a threefold manner made public. Shout, voice, trumpet. And God revealed his word by manifesting it. Now the prophet said, and I didn't. I'm just going to hold you to the word, and I'm going to hold the prophet to the word too. I want the prophet to come back and say, well, Brother Vail, I didn't really mean it all the way. Well, I say, well, what did you mean then? You get married and you're not the wife all the way, then drop dead. You ought to get booed out and you can get a new wife. Are you not the husband all the way? She ought to boot you out and get a new husband. Just a couple of dogs, that's all. Not sheep. Well, come on. Word's word. What am I supposed to do? Believe 90, believe 100%. Let's say suddenly said, hey, I didn't mean that 100%. Well, 100% you believe. Want me to believe? I've got to have something to go by. Amen. I'm very smart and ain't no prophet. If you're going to take a prophet or to know a prophet, that is to judge a prophet, forget it. Paul the Apostle said you don't have to be a prophet. Just be full of the Holy Ghost and you'll know what the prophet is really saying. Right. Also, we got no big problem then. Isn't it strange? Thing that not long ago on the East Coast, a big blackout. They couldn't understand it. Texas blacked out last week. They can't understand it. Don't you realize that's a sign? Now, that was good for that day, but it's not good anymore. You know why? Because we got the word. I don't need a sign anywhere anymore. Back in his day, it could be a sign because he could tell you if it was a sign. Now you got the kookla cookies looking in the refrigerator and there's no light in there. They say, oh, that's a sign. Sure, it's a sign the bulb's out or the electricity's off, idiot. No, they'll make a lot of it. Then they say they believe the message. What message? I'll tell you what sign I see when the light's out. I see dollar signs and I get mad as a hatter. See, that thing broke dude. And I think, oh, that's not too bad. Maybe Bill Miller will come and fix it because, you know, Bill's a good expert. He's fixed my fridge before. I can't fix this clock, but he can fix my fridge. He even fixed the microwave one time. So the dollar signs aren't so bad then, that I see. They can't understand it. Don't you know the nations are breaking? Israel's in her homeland. These signs are indicating we're at the end. The same time it's blacking out. Don't you know that's a sign that the prophet said there'd be light about the evening time? In other words, when you see the blackout, you know. And it is striking, ranging in far distant places, you know that something's going on. See? Because it's not on one grid. See? They want to put it on one grid. That would make a honey if the grid really broke down. It's all right, whatever they do. But here's East and then Texas showing that something's going on. Because that's just not happenstance. You see? Now it said there'll be light about the evening time. What light? What he is in this hour. That's what it is. Because you've got to walk in the light that he's in. What light is he in? Son of man. Now, Brother Branham said, you've got to give back to God the correct answer. People think, well, I got to think of something. No, you don't. Because he was talking about that time, Son of God, Son of Man. No, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. But it's not that way. It is Son of God, or rather, beg your pardon, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, then Son of David. Because there's a repeat. Now, if you don't give that back, you haven't got a name. Well, you say, God's playing games. No, not, God's not playing games. The churches are playing games. You see, they think they got it figured. They don't. Not when a prophet's on the scene. Now, they can get by until that time, but no way after that. See, this is the day of the Lord. Coming up to the finality. And everybody, because the finality, the final hasn't come. Oh, the fire hasn't fallen. Oh, well, fine, we're going along just great. Fine, just going along great. And he said, Peter said, now hold it. He said, that's ridiculous. Well, he said, you're like those scoffers, he said, to say nothing has changed. But he said, things are changing, and you better know the changes. Brother Branham said, if we turn the corner. He said, it takes a prophet to turn the corner. He said, don't you try to turn it. You see? Now, the Pope just come over here. Remember at the tabernacle with them, you got the tapes, I guess all of you take them, how the Lord showed there that day in the tabernacle exactly where those church ages would be and how they'd be, and I drawed them up on the board there, that those church ages which you see drawn in the book. And if that Holy Spirit didn't come down in a big pillar of fire and went right back there on the wall and drew them out himself while 300 or 400 people sat there looking at it, that was God's answer. Vindicating that what Brother Branham said was true, because out of the ages come the seals. Then he was vindicated on the ages, then the seals are vindicated. Because can an unclean thing come out of a clean thing? No! See, an unclean can't come out of a clean, and a clean can't come out of an unclean. Clean comes out of clean. Then if the ages are vindicated, so are the seals. He told us that. And just as the Pope started over here, the moon somehow blacked out, and he took pictures the same way he was drawing the platform here. Now he's made his trip over here on the 13th, that's of the month, walked 13 steps, served 13 communions to nation number 13, and blackouts coming everywhere. Don't you see where we're at? We're at the end time. Why? Because Rome is a harlot church, and we voted our soul away. So the whole world, the Catholics are right. Protestants voted them in. Yep. That's like a jury knowing that a man's a criminal, lets him off anyway. See? It's over. Now, scoffers rise in the last days. Scoffing what? The rapture. We're not in the rapture in the sense of the dead out of the ground. We're in the rapture one place, to the living. To the living. How are we going to get out of here? We're going to get out of here by a message that Jesus delivers and coming down. Scoffers rise saying, there's no difference in the time than when it was, than when our fathers fell asleep. See, things continue. There's no allotted word. Why we got the word? What are you talking about? Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. What about those seals? What about those thunders? They're in there. Who's going to bring them out? Bloomfield, he's a great man of God. I think everybody loved his teaching. He's great on prophecy. He's brought up tremendous things which weren't really true. But he's very good at, you know. And he had enough brains to know this. He said, now, those thunders. He said, those thunders, now, he said, I'll tell you. God's got to send somebody and tell us what they are. Because they're not in the book. But you see, they were in the book. Because the thunders and seals were the same thing. The thunders was the unrevealed, sealed in word of the end time that Paul never had. It'll bring about a resurrection. It'll bring about a rapture. It'll bring about a wedding supper. It'll bring about the millennium. It'll bring about the new Jerusalem. Because you see, it's a Roman candle. Time begins to run out. See, eternity and time blend. The resurrection, which is eternal, first resurrection, makes us eternal, blending with time, 1,000 years to go. And then, white throne judgment, more years to go, still time. Then suddenly, it's all wrapped up. So you see where we are? Okay. Scoffers rise on the last day saying that. But when you see these things begin to happen, raise up your heads, get ready. Something could happen anytime. Christ come for his church. Now, you see, the scoffing is sure evidence that we're in the rapture, and it won't be very hard for very long before we get there. Now, remember, scoffing started last year. Oh, yeah, everybody just loved the raptures of Revelation until it got out. He's got to be here. They said, forget it. Well, I tell you, if he descended, did he go back? Show me where the Bible says he comes down, he goes up, he comes down, he goes up, he comes down. Show me. Brother Branham put it one place in descending. And he said, I was only there when he appeared. So he tells you when the appearing took place, started coming in to view. When he started moving into his church. Because you see, the measure of the word is what you're looking at. When that word came up flat, they said, kill it. All right? They don't. Now it says here. Now they don't. They don't believe it because it's there. They don't believe that they're the ones that are fulfilling the scripture. Now let's be honest. If I'm wrong and I'm scoffing, I'm fulfilling the scripture on the rapture. I'm going to miss it. Now, I'm equally bold to say, if I'm right and I'm being scoffed for the truth, they're going to miss it. Some folks, you can't have your cake and eat it. Now, you're a pretty good bunch of people because a lot of you did not come out of Pentecost. You came out of worse than that. Which is wonderful in the sense that you had less. And when you have less to contend with. It was so easy years ago, my wife and I had a couple little rooms and furniture that could fall off the truck and wouldn't matter, and a couple of suits. When you've got stuff in the house that's worth more than the house, and I mean worth more than the house, you've got too much. I don't care if you're Lee Vail, Mrs. Vail, or anybody else, or the Miller sisters. They like to hear their pace right now because they're barking dogs, eh, girl? Just too much, kids. Simplify, shoot the dogs. I didn't think I was going to say that. I didn't mean it. But you know it's the truth. The more you get, the worse off you are. That's Pentecost. Now he said, how little did Caiaphas, the high priest, and all those priests in that day, they scoffed and made fun of him. Now how'd they make fun of him? Well, they said, look, you're not Messiah. Now watch what that said. If he was not Messiah, Messiah was not there. And if he was there and not Messiah, he was an imposter. So it actually comes to pass, was he there? Yes, he was there. Now, the same question, is he here? Now, how can you crucify him to yourself if he's not here? I'd like to know. Maybe you can do it some other way I'm not aware of. But I'd like to know. Because Brother Branham indicted this generation for crucifying him. And he said they crucified the Word. And you reduce the Word to Logos, and you bring it out as shout. Which is once more Christ in verbal form. He has to be. Because in the pillar of fire form, you can't see him and apprehend him. It's got to be of someone with a voice. Amen. And he descended using Brother Branham's voice. And the word, per se, that was coming through William Branham's voice, was the word descending by the proper spirit.
Hallelujah.
Because that's a ministry. See, that's what he said. Now, they don't realize they're the ones that fulfilling Scripture. Now, look, we do. Because if anything, we want to be fair here. Not smug, not stupid, not arrogant. Just want to be honest. That's all. Just little honesty is all it takes. And I admit to you candidly, if I'm wrong, I'm a scoffer. Something wrong somewhere. The people don't realize they're doing these things, saying these things, they're fulfilling the Scripture. Now, Scripture's got to be fulfilled. Somebody's got to do it. Now, who's doing it? How little did Caiaphas, the high priest, and all those priests in that day that scoffed and made fun of him, didn't know that very God they were singing about. 22nd Psalm, my hands and feet were pierced, you forsaken me. Singing that in the temple to him dying on the cross. Little did they know that they were doing it. Now, little do they know today they're scoffing. See, Jesus even prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Did that happen? The only ones forgiven were those that were predestinated. The rest of them were cut off in 70 A.D., you know as well as I do. They were scattered. Those that got away, they didn't know. They don't know what they're doing. Now he's saying that about, he said that, Jesus said that. Because they were actually predicted by the Scripture to be blind. Okay? Now, that's good there. Now, these are scoffers. The leader of the system that Jesus came out of, that's Caiaphas, was looking for a Messiah, but when it meant his position, he killed Jesus. He wouldn't give Jesus preeminence. Now, if he's really here, how many preachers are going to step down and get out of the way? When's this leadership bit going to stop once and for all? When's this running around going to stop? You say, now, Lee, just because you stop running, everybody else going to stop running? No, but I wonder why did I stop running. You say old age? Well, not exactly. I'm not that old. There's airplanes, you know. And I can always get a ticket so far and take 2 or 3 days rest in a good motel or hotel in London or someplace, then go on to Africa if I want to go on. But I prayed and I didn't get any word to go, so I stayed home. I got word not to go to New Zealand. At least at that time, the word came back not at this time, so I just sent the ticket back. That was it. The time hasn't rolled around yet either. It may never roll around. But you say, what time might it be? Well, it could be in, when I've got my glorified body, just might visit over there. I don't know. I ain't talking. I don't know. I haven't got an answer. Furthermore, I'm not asking God for an answer. You say, why? I'm chicken. I figure he'll tell me to go if I'm supposed to go. I'll get that peculiar urge. Something will happen. I see, it doesn't depend on me. It depends on him. Now, he's explaining this about these people up here being blind in this next paragraph. You see, this is a typing out and typical for the hour. Did you know how the Protestant and Catholic Church is predicted in the last day to be blind? The same thing through Scripture with Christ on the outside trying to get in? Now, he said that in 1963. Christ on the outside. She's out. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and have need of nothing, and don't know you're miserable, poor, wretched, blind, naked, and don't know it. Revelation 3. There you are. Back to blindness again. Trampling over the things of God as if they meant nothing to them. Now that tells you what the crucifying is. They're trampling on the rapture. You say, why? Because they're trampling on the shout. And the shout is the message. And every messenger has a message. And William Branham was the messenger Elijah. So what are you going to do? Well, they said, he ain't Elijah. Then who was? Well, said one fella, I'll say this. If I believed in Elijah for this day instead of John the Baptist Elijah, he said he'd get my vote. Well, how are you going to vote if you don't believe? Unless you're paid. Well, the man didn't make a vote at all because he didn't need the money. You go to organization. They'll make you say Brother Branham was a devil. Or they can't make me say that because I don't belong there. You see, the very thing to get us out of here, which is God and the prophet with the message, puts them into a deep sleep. Instead of getting into step, they get further out of step. Now here it is. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, there you are. It tells you right there. There is a true revelation that's going to get you out of here. You won't trample underfoot. You'll be in accord with it. You won't crucify to yourself the Son of God afresh. You'll do none of those things. You'll be right in step with God. That's what he's saying. Now, that is a bride coming together unto Christ, because she's supposed to. Now, there's the whole issue we're into. If you come together, what are you coming together for? So the dead can raise. What about the dead raising? So I can be changed. What about both of us? We're going up. Then you tell me the rapture is not in progress? Come on, brother, sister. Merciful God, you're trying to tell me a baby gets born without gestation for 9 months? I'll tell you what people are looking at. They're looking at a bunch of test tube babies. And I mean test tube in the sense you take the ovum and you take the sperm with a bunch of chemicals and you produce some kind of slap dash and God knows what. They're supposed to be a human being, supposed to be a Christian. Forget it. I ain't no test tube baby. I ain't no laboratory baby. I'm a son of God baby. Hallelujah. And I'm going up. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege of being here together. To have our faces hard as flint against iniquity and against the works of the devil. Only by your grace, Lord, not of any pride in ourselves or any boasting ourselves, because we could go down the tube tomorrow. And well, we know it, except for grace and mercy. Except for foreordination, election, predestination. Except for the mercies of this hour. We're only saying this, Lord, because we got faith in what we believe to be the truth. That William Branham was the Elijah of this hour to a Gentile bride. That there was a shout, which was a message to bring the bride together. And because it's been delivered, we believe the rapture is already becoming into effect. People are laughing. The very thing under their noses, and they're turning down the interpretation of the Word of God, the revelation, the realization. But Lord, we realize it. And yet, Father, we confess we don't even begin to realize it the way we should. Where is our sobriety? Where is everything, Lord, that shows we really believe it? Father God in heaven, we know that there was a time Peter believed. And all it did was make him obstreperous for a while. He took a sword and carved off one of the serpent's ears. And then there came a day when, a little bit afterward, he had problems with himself, even denying what he thought he fought for. But then one day, Lord, with the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the Word become real. Because that was really what it was. He said, we've got prophecy made more sure than even on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there he could stand and he could say, it could even take him to his death, hung upside down on the cross. And he stood there with the boldness. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. There's coming a day when men are going to scoff at the revelation of reality. It's like they're doing, have done all the years, and they're doing right now even, and I'm going to die for it. Lord, I believe we're of the same category. We've had our problems, Lord, with ourselves, with each other. We know that. We become militant here and there, Lord, and it doesn't look good, and we don't like it ourselves. We wonder a lot of times. But I know, already deep within our souls, there is already that tremendous revelation of rock being built up. That it doesn't matter what happens, where it comes from, which way it's going. We believe we're part of that bride. We're a part of marching Zion ourselves. We're not marching too. It's Zion herself marching. On the move, bride. Coming to bride, going up, Lord. Help us, O God, this hour. You already have helped us, but Lord, we're talking about help us to get a little clearer.